Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our village board meeting. Would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome. Thanks for being here tonight. We will call this evening's village board meeting from September 18th to order. Roll call. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrick.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Simpson.
Here.
Thank you. Do I have a motion to modify or adopt this evening's agenda? Do you have any changes?
I'll let you know.
Okay. Any changes from the board, modifications? Do I have a motion to accept the agenda? Trustee Dirk? Do I have a second? Trustee Sampson? Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Any announcements?
I just wanted to share. I received a phone call today from Assistant Fire Chief Goplin informing me that Station 5 of the Metro Fire Department, which is located near Finger Road or on Finger Road, was flooded, and they have moved the operations from Station 5 up to Station 8, so which is the Alloway Station. Just in case you see extra cars or extra rescue squads and stuff in that area, that's what that's for. So it's temporary, hopefully. That's what their thoughts are. But those from Station 5 are going to respond to their designated area, and Station 8 will continuously serve the village of Alloways.
Very good. Mr. Clark?
Yes, wanted to let the board know and the community know that the concession building at P.H. Martin Webster Park is completed. A few punch list items left to do, but the Buccaneers football organization utilized it this past weekend at their home games, and great building, great partnership working with the Buccaneers on that project.
Great, great news. We should have a ribbon cutting ceremony.
If it ever stops raining.
Any announcements from the board? Hearing none, we will move on to item number 4, public appearances. Is there anyone in the audience this evening that would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chair of the Alloway Bike Ped Committee. The Arboretum Trail that's currently under construction on West St. Joseph Street doesn't look like it's in compliance with the comprehensive plan, and it doesn't look like it's wide enough. I don't know who's building it, but I've been told that there's no plans registered with the city, with the village, and I'd like somebody to take a look at that and make sure that whatever sidewalk is going in there, that it is in compliance with the comprehensive plan and the Arboretum Trail that's supposed to connect Webster Avenue with the Fox River Trail. And then on the west side of Riverside Drive, the village is rewriting the zoning code and hopefully getting rid of industrial zoning down there and coming up with a new type of Riverside commercial zoning. So I'd like all the property owners to be aware of that along Riverside Drive and get as much input from them as possible. There's a lot of development land right near West St. Joseph and Riverside Drive on the west side of the river, west side of Riverside Drive. Thanks.
Thank you. Judy?
Judy Poe, 2375 Riverside Drive. Just a comment and a question.
Is there a neighborhood association down where we've put up the stop and go signals for the crosswalk?
On the south side of town?
No. Yeah, on the south end down here on Riverside Drive. Is there a neighborhood association in that area that you're aware of?
I don't believe so.
The only reason I ask that is that on two different occasions, within one block south and one block north, I've seen people standing there waiting for the traffic to walk their dogs, but they won't walk that one block to push the button to put the sign on. And I wonder if they're just simply not aware. So if there is a neighborhood association, whoever is in charge, maybe they could send a notice out to their people in that area.
Great point.
Okay,
thank you very much, Judy. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda? Hearing none, we will close the public appearance section. Is there anyone who is here to speak on any agenda items? We have a nice crowd here tonight, so I thought I'd ask. And what agenda item is that, sir?
Number 14.
Number 14. You want to talk in adjournment? Okay. I was going to say 14 words. Okay, so 10.
You're going to get your seat up here.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Number 6. Or excuse me, number. Yeah, number 6.
Sure, it's not 14? 6. Yes, sir.
Item number 10.
Okay, yeah, we've got that covered, sir.
5.
Okay, anyone else? Becky.
5 if needed.
Okay. Any others besides 5, 6, and 10? And 14? Okay. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to agenda item number 5, discussion with DOT representative regarding concerns with crosswalk on Riverside Drive and engine braking on 172 from multiple discussions we've had. Mr. Guillen.
Well, with a little arm twisting, I was able to get Randy Aspen, what's that traffic engineer, to tonight's meeting to talk about the Riverside Drive crosswalk and the engine braking on 172. Brandon, if you want to come up, I know there's a number of questions that they have regarding the engine braking. I know that we had talked to WSDOT staff earlier about the possibility of putting up signage to prohibit engine braking on the 172 off ramp. And I believe that we were told that it wouldn't be allowed. I don't know that you were going to look into that. And there have been a number of questions on the Highway 57 Riverside Drive crosswalk. Motorists anxious to turn left, pull ahead, and stop in the crosswalk. And I know that we had asked you to take a look at the traffic signals. Is there anything you can do to the traffic signals to improve that situation? I know that we took a close look at the other devices, and they appear to be in advance to encourage the motorists to stop. But if you could talk on those two subjects.
Sure. Firstly, the engine braking, it is, as I don't know who gave you that direction previously, but it is against our policy to allow any engine braking signing on our freeway expressways. No signing would be allowed on the 172 or on any expressway or freeway prohibiting that engine braking. That's statewide policy. We don't have any signs in any other expressways, freeways, notifying more or less semi-drivers that that's not allowed.
How do you deal with that issue then on state highways?
On expressways and freeways?
Yep.
What do you mean, how do we deal with it?
Is there any way to deal with engine braking in all hours of the night?
Not on expressways and freeways.
Okay.
So if I could define expressway and freeway then.
Expressway would be like 172 from 41 to the east, I-43, I-41, those are all freeways, meaning that there isn't at-grade intersections along them. They're all controlled by access control. There's not driveways. There's not at-grade intersections. There's only interchanges. That's a freeway. An expressway would be, I'm trying to think of what the nearest expressway would be. Once you go north on 54, 57 towards Door County, where you have at-grade intersections, but the speed limit there is 65 or in some places even 70, that's an expressway.
So the signs that I have seen must be on county roads?
They may be, but they're not allowed, again, on expressways and freeways. Okay. Ultimately, DOT wants the semi to be able to do that on that sort of facility if indeed needed.
Okay. Could you, do you mind if I enter this dialogue here? Can you educate me as to what the significance of engine braking is? Why is it needed and when is it needed?
I'm not a truck driver, but I do know that they need, at times they do need it to help them slow down, again, on an off-ramp in those situations if needed. We want them to be able to slow down rather than what the effect of them not slowing down would be.
Okay. I think in this particular case, what you have is you have, are you familiar with the stretch?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily on an off-ramp as much as it is going from that 65 to 55 is where you're hearing it. So, but you say signs aren't permitted on expressways and freeways, so it sounds like that's undebatable. What about moving the 55-mile-an-hour sign back to the off-ramp? From I-43 to 172. Reduce speed to 55 instead of reducing speed to 65.
For the sake of being able to do what? What would be the purpose of doing
that? Well, for one, it would create that engine braking a lot further back in a lot less residential area instead of right where it's at now.
But then it creates everyone that's on 172 to be a violator of the speed limit.
Unless we change the speed limit.
By moving the sign will not change driver behavior. So if you move a speed limit sign a half a mile to a mile from 65 to 55, that is not going to change driver behavior. Their speed will remain probably within 2 miles an hour of what it currently is. So the highway generally the highway and the roadway tells you how fast and how comfortable it is for you to drive. Okay? So if you move that sign a half a mile or a mile one way or another, the highway is still telling the individual driving how comfortable it is for you to drive. If it's wide open by East River, further to the east, there's not much going on, that roadway is telling you, for the most part, how fast you should be driving. So moving the speed limit one way or another for engine braking is going to create more people to be in violation of the speed limit. Studies, national studies, local studies, lots of studies show that consistently.
I get what you're saying, but to be a little bit ridiculous on your argument, and from my side, from my standpoint, so you're kind of saying that the speed limit is just a suggestion.
No, I'm saying the speed limit is the speed limit.
Okay, but you...
If it's 55 or 65 or 70, that's the speed limit, but that is, again, based on what that roadway is telling you. We're not going to put a speed limit out on Lytle Street of 45 miles an hour because it doesn't feel like I can be driving 45. It feels like I should be driving closer to 25 or 30.
I understand what you're saying. So basically the short answer is nothing's going to happen.
Signs are not allowed on expressways and freeways.
Thank you.
And if we wanted to raise that discussion with anyone at the state level, who makes that determination? Is that the DOT itself? Is it... The legislature?
It is the DOT.
The DOT.
To my understanding, yes.
Okay. And I'm sure there's good reasons for it. I've been getting more and more complaints from people or comments asking us if we can do something about that. So it seems to be, and in the middle of the night, it seems to be a big thing. So you're hitting the 55, and I can promise you, by the way, if you took that 55 speed limit sign out, no one would slow down to 55. I think plenty of people would be happy flying at 65 or more.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
In that
so maybe
location,
we just remove that 55.
And keep it 65
keep
across
it 65
the bridge.
65 all the way through.
There's some people that would like to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about doing that?
we could conduct a speed study, but there's, I mean, if the village would like that, by all means, our office would investigate whether or not that's something that makes sense to do.
And we're throwing solutions that we can think of, but the main problem is that people are being woken up in the middle of the night with loud boom, 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 boom. And it's going through a residential neighborhood. And if there's a solution to that problem, we'd like to investigate any solution. We don't care what it is, as long as it's protecting the village residents.
Yes, and again, if the village is interested in us looking at the speed further to the west, we can do a speed study there and determine if it makes sense to raise the speed limit. That would be one factor right. in making the decision whether or not to raise it.
Right. Any other solutions to that problem that you can think of with your experience?
It's the unfortunate situation of living nearby a freeway.
Mm-hmm.
And especially where the speed limit changes, you're going to have, this is one of the factors that takes place. No different than any other urban freeway that we have.
Okay.
So I don't have any other solutions, though. I wish I did, but I don't.
Okay, any other? Matthew?
If we did have a situation where the speed limit just west of 43 was 55, in all likelihood, that would eliminate the engine braking taking place on the stretch of 172. You still may have an instance where it could happen on the off-ramp, but that would help alleviate the problem that we seem to be running into, that we're hearing about from our residents. That follows logically, correct?
Right.
Okay.
But
so if we... Go ahead.
My question to you then, what dictates or what warrants lowering the speed limit just west of I-43?
Because you'll be entering 172, going through a 90-degree turn, and you more than likely will not be at a 70-mile-an-hour speed throughout that turn. Therefore, you would stay at the 55-mile-per-hour and not have to have the engine braking taking place.
But reality shows that, again, the road, it's wide open, GV's wide open, all that area is wide open, so drivers want to go faster. Everything else on I-43, they want to go faster. The road's wide open. There's not much going on. So by changing that speed limit to 55 in that stretch, will cause more people to be not in compliance with the speed limit.
Randy, quick question for you.
Yeah.
What warrants the reduction of the posted speed limit in north of Alloway? You're going 65 miles per hour. The posted speed limit is 65, and you just get over the, before you get to the bridge, I believe it's posted 55. Why is it?
On 172 west, you're talking about right approaching.
Yeah.
I don't have the history. I know that particular speed limit, again, there's a lot of discussions, and I'm not aware of them. It was done before I started working with the department back in 2000, but I do know that lowering of that speed to 55 or not raising it up to 65, there was many factors in making that decision. I'm not completely aware of what all those were. It was more than what are people driving comfortably, is my understanding.
So if the village wanted to request a speed study, we could request a speed study of the entire stretch of 172 from 43 to the bridge?
Yep. Yeah, and what we would do is we would look at a couple segments within there, a couple logical segments within there, and determine what drivers are driving, and then determine from there what's the appropriate speed to be posted.
Okay. At least it's an opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for Randy on this topic?
If you did do that, the contact in our office, his name is Rod Hamilton, just as it sounds.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, I think there's another agenda item, too, that you'd like to speak about. What was the other issue, Sean?
The Riverside Highway 57 crosswalk.
Yes.
At 172 ramps.
Right. So I understand for sure the situation there that motorists southbound on Riverside Drive are stopping, encroaching within the crosswalk when the light's red. So therefore, bicyclists, pedestrians that want to cross using the crosswalk sometimes have to go completely out of the crosswalk to go around a vehicle that's parked essentially in the crosswalk. There is crosswalk markings there. There is a stop line there, which help dictate where people are supposed to stop. I was just in Appleton this afternoon. I was a pedestrian. We were doing some signal work down there. Same exact situation that we're looking at here. Cars halfway out into the crosswalk. Why is that? I honestly don't know. I do know that changing the signal timing would not impact where a person stops. If a person notoriously is encroaching beyond the stop line and into the crosswalk, regardless of what intersection it is, that person is going to continue to do it unless there's some negative enforcement, which I realize hardly any agency, if any, has the time and resources to be able to do that sort of investigation. So as far as the signal timing, we have the appropriate walk and no walk timing for the pedestrian, and I know that's not necessarily the issue. We already moved some signs, and the village trimmed some brush along the highway there to help the vision of the person that's waiting to cross. So someone that's approaching the intersection can see, hey, there's a person here. I need to stop behind that location. But I don't know since the last month if that's gotten any better. I suspect it's probably similar, but at least they can be seen. So from a signal timing perspective, there's really nothing we can do. If someone's going to, as any other crossing within the city or within the village, those motorists are just going to continue to do it unless there's some other deterrent not to.
Any questions for Amy? Trustee Harris?
One item that we brought up, and I'm not sure I understand whether or not we can do it, is a much more detailed crosswalk, wider strips, whether they're diagonal or the larger bars, so that the crosswalk itself is much more prominent. Is that an option for that intersection?
I can look to see what I know. Most locations, and this one included, we typically use the longitudinal markings like what are out there now.
Okay.
Some municipalities will use perpendicular or transverse markings, if you will, the bigger bars. I'm not certain the effectiveness of one versus the other. I do know what I see out there now doesn't look like it's been painted this year, or I'm not sure if it was painted last year. Those are the maintenance of the village. The village is to maintain those markings. Unfortunately, DOT doesn't do that, so the village would have applied for a permit to put those crosswalk markings in, and then ultimately when that permit gets approved, they are also taking the responsibility to maintain them, meaning repaint them on a regular basis. So I can look to see what other markings are allowed, but again, the trend, what you see now is typical. Sometimes the bigger bars are used, but I'm not certain that will solve the issue.
We won't know unless we try.
Yep.
And I do know that probably a mile and a half south of there, there are probably four different instances where you cross over at Ridgeway. I believe there's one a block or two north of there, a block or two south of there, where those wider strips are on Riverside. So that's what part of the way that made
sure.
You think it would
okay.
Be permissible on that road. And it can't hurt to try.
Any other thoughts?
I know we've talked about signage. Is there a way to move that stop line back and have a sign saying stop here?
There's something called the MUTCD, which is a manual of uniform traffic control devices. It's a national adopted document. It's kind of like the Bible for traffic engineers, so to speak, across the country. Per that document, per that guidance, the stop bar is to be X amount of feet from the crosswalk. So if you move the crosswalk back whatever distance, if they're violating the crosswalk, if you move the stop line back, they're violating it now. They're going to violate it more the further you move it back. So it's tough. You know, it really is. I don't have a solution for the problem other than strictly enforcement. But who has the amount of, you know, enforcement resources to be able to sit and watch this situation amongst dozens of other ones within the village, I'm sure.
How about a sign in the median saying stop here?
I can look and see if that's something that we could do. Stop here on red sort of thing. The reality is when people are waiting to go and take that left turn onto the ramp, the second car creeps out, light turns from green to yellow to red. Now they're already beyond that point. But I can investigate whether or not that's a sign that we would look to possibly install.
Okay. Are we allowed to install cameras at intersections? So if we wanted to help educate people, not give tickets, but take an image of a car that is violating that space and send them a friendly letter letting them know that it's a safety concern, please change your practice.
I mean, you could do as far as looking that license plate up and finding that address and so on. I don't know if law enforcement would have an idea. I know we're not allowed to use red light camera running cameras in the state, but beyond that.
But an informational camera?
Informational thing. You know, you could simply go out there and take a picture of a car and post it on your social media sort of thing and try to do some proactive education that way too.
Would the state allow us to mount a camera on the cross, the lights or whatever?
Not on our facility. No, we wouldn't. We have the City of Appleton also has their own cameras at our interchanges. But they have their own pole. They're doing their own thing. I could, from our highway camera, which is right at the interchange, in aerial view, I could just take a picture and send a picture of someone in a crosswalk, but it's not going to get the license plate information. It doesn't go into that detail necessarily.
Jim?
Yes.
One more observation, and to me, when you said that people are always going to sneak up and end up getting hung out across the crosswalk when they figure out they can't make that left turn, that probably doesn't happen if it's a left turn on Arrow only. You know, people follow that. You might have somebody speeding through and turning on the red, but I think it'd be more likely that people would stop short. Now, I don't know that you would change the traffic volume on Riverside at any given time probably doesn't justify that, and maybe we don't have all that many people using that little stub of trail to get to the river. But that could change, and the thing I'm thinking about is traffic patterns. You know, right now maybe the reformatory doesn't get a lot of walk-up business, but if we get residential and commercial development in there, there could be a lot of traffic there. And if it's a problem now and we think, well, there's not much we can do and we can live with it, maybe a couple of years down the road we can't live with it. And you know, maybe at that time you would consider arrow-only turns, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, I did think about, you know, can we make it a left turn only? Can we make it, you know, you only turn left when you have a green arrow, right? But as soon as you turn that yellow and red, now all those cars that are sitting there, they've had plenty of opportunity. If the light were flashing yellow arrow, there was plenty of opportunity for them to take a turn when there's a gap in northbound traffic. So,
Based on today's traffic,
without a doubt, yes.
Yeah, well, even without the reformatory, we've got development, residential, and not a ton of units, but there's a fair amount coming into that neighborhood, so it's possible traffic will pick up and look back.
Okay, any other questions, thoughts, ideas? We would like to thank you for coming, sir.
You bet.
And if you stay in touch with staff to see if we want to do the traffic study or any looking into the sign. If you do that, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll look into that and I'll let Sean know.
Okay. Very good. We're just trying to make it safe. And
understood.
I know you guys want the same thing.
Yeah, you bet. You bet.
Don't want someone going around the car into oncoming traffic. That would be a bad thing. Okay. Thank you very much, Andy.
Have a good night.
You too. I have a request from the floor to suspend the rules. Do I have a motion? Trustee Atwood, seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Come on up, Becky.
Becky Nyberg, 214 Simnet. I just want to say I'm the one that originally started this because I ride through there on my way to work and home. And I just wanted to say I wanted to really thank the man from the DOT because he met with me and Sean down there. He explained everything, and I'm completely satisfied that everything's been done that needs to be done. And they did take down the sign that was blocking the view. That was probably the biggest problem, was that you cars couldn't see you and you couldn't see the cars. And when I sit there and there, people will look at me and, like, you know, and kind of roll their high. It happens fast, and they park across the crosswalk, and then they look and see me, and then the bright light's already red. And so there's not much that can be done with that. And I just wanted to thank you for looking into it and tell you that, you know, as a person who complained, I'm completely satisfied with the result. So,
well, thank you. And thanks for bringing that up. Randy's not here anymore, is he?
He's on the horn.
We'll have to make sure Randy gets that message. Thank you, Becky. Anyone else who wanted to speak on that issue? Okay, I'll entertain a rule to pick up the rules, or a motion to pick up the rules. Trustee Dart, seconded by Trustee Sampson. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. We'll move on to agenda item number 6. Action regarding a request to keep ducks. I believe we have the folks here who are interested in that. Right. Welcome back. Brad, or anyone, did you want to say anything, or should we just...
Yeah, I can go ahead and start. As you recall, this was discussed a few times earlier this year and asked to be brought back towards fall, as the ducks had been removed for the summer months. Mike has been looking into trying to find communities that allow this to take place. They can let Mike talk a little bit about that, but certainly, you know, trying to do our homework to see what some of the options are. Obviously, the options are yes or no. And if yes, what are the conditions associated with that? But maybe you want to hear from those that are requesting.
Okay. Mike, do you have anything to add?
Yes. I did some investigation on the areas, especially around Alloway. I checked on all of the villages, towns, and cities, and I have not been able to find one of our other communities that attach to us at all that will allow ducks. Most of them do a lot of chickens that we and have pretty much the same quota we have towards that. A couple of them do stretch into allowing pigeons if they're a certain type of racing. But other than that, ducks, geese, turkeys are all very much labeled as not allowed in any of the villages and cities. The only area that we did find was down in Nina. Nina does allow four poultry per single family, and you can be mixed. You can have one duck, one goose, one turkey, whatever you want, but limit of four. But when we go to anybody in our area, if you look at Swamico, if you look at Howard, they have different sizes as their residential areas move farther out. They go, the larger they're permitted. If it's a residential or estate, it's down to the same as what Alloway agrees on. I also started to look into taking care of ducks. Part of that is that if they request, they suggest that each duck has a 4 to 6 foot square area This is the area that they're housed in and encaged in. Now, everything I've read is an area that allow their ducks to free-range during the day, which we do not allow. The ducks went by the same as our chickens. They must be caged at all times. So you're looking at a larger area that you're going to have to contain these ducks in. Cleaning for taking care of them for water and everything else. So looking at all that and seeing the people, and we had the neighbors, a neighbor, Ms. Dutch, that was still concerned about it. I guess it's my feeling that it would be advantageous to stay away from this and just stay with what we have, something that we are doing well, or able to keep up with it, and hopefully work on more inspections than that for the chickens and the bees.
Would anyone like, would you folks like to say anything tonight? If you do, just let me know. If you don't, one second, sir. One second, please. Okay. And you wanted to say something on this? So we've had a request from the floor to speak on this issue. Can we open up the rules? Trustee Genrich.
Move to suspend.
Seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Why don't you come up, sir? Thank you.
Like Brad mentioned earlier, the ducks are in Kewaunee on a farm now. Mm-hmm. And the only way that we were thinking, if they would come back to my son's house, is if my uncle was sick. That's the only reason we brought them here, because okay. They're my son's ducks. So, and if my uncle, he's well now, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully he'll stay that way. That's the only reason we want to bring this back up, if we had to bring the ducks, you know, to take care of them.
Okay.
That's all I have to say.
Okay, well, thank you. Do you still want to say something, sir?
For the record?
Yeah.
From the others in the address.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll get him back. Got it.
You've got it.
Oh, you got it.
Okay. Could you give us your name and address, please?
Dan Whipp, 124 Woodview Lane.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to appeal to the board that, you know, I look at ducks and other things as animals that maybe belong out in the country on a farm, that type of thing, and I didn't move into town to have that in the neighborhood. And with what I heard from other municipalities and stuff around locally, just appealing to the board that you vote to keep the rules the way that they are and not allow the ducks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Anyone else want to speak on this issue? I will then entertain a motion to pick up the rules. Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. I'll entertain a motion on this item.
I would move to keep the ruling the same. It doesn't appear to me like there's a request to change it.
Okay. Second.
Seconded by Trustee Genrich. Any discussion? I would agree with Trustee Atwood's comments, and I thank you for coming tonight and sharing. Any other discussion?
Well, I feel bad about the young man's ducks, but I think it's just opening up too many things right now, and probably not a good idea. I hope his uncle can keep his ducks, and I don't know the life expectancy of a duck, but I want to know what people do with these ducks when it's time for them to go. You leave your duck just die? You can't butcher them. Your chickens, you can't. So, I mean, that just brings up a new problem. What do you do with your elderly ducks?
Like they did with my dog when I was a kid. They sent it to a farm.
That's right. And it's already on the farm, so.
Okay, well, we have a... Yes.
When we had this discussion before, I mentioned that there's a generation, and I mentioned my niece, who was making a point of moving out by Abrams because they wanted to keep animals, rabbits and chickens. And I saw her at a family gathering, and they got the chickens. They want to get more. They love the chickens. So maybe the day is coming where people like her will be all over and will have chickens, but probably not right now. Maybe down the line someday if it gets to be a more popular thing, but not right now.
We do have chickens right now.
We got a few, yeah.
Jim, if I could make one comment, I'd like to tip my hat to both of these parties. So, number one, you brought it to the board to support your actions in your desire. And you came back, and you didn't have to. You could have just left it because you didn't have a need right now, but you came back anyway. And you came in front of the board, and you just stated that. So I tip my hat to you. You as a neighbor, I tip my hat to you. If you were concerned about it, you handled it the right way. All parties handled it the right way, and I thank you for that.
Okay. Any other comments, questions, thoughts? We have a motion on the table to keep things as they are in a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 7. Action regarding final land exchange agreement with Green Bay Public School District at PHM Webster Park. This is the formalization of the agreement, correct?
That is correct. After the last meeting, the board had a couple of requests to change the agreement. Took those back and let our attorney know. He spoke with the school district. They were okay with one of the items, which was the making sure that there were village functions. However, they did not agree to allowing all village type of meetings to take place. They would prefer that go through their normal rental procedures. And our attorney suggested that he recommended that we go ahead and do that. Go that route as opposed to trying to change the agreement to go against what the school district, you know, wished with that. So,
okay.
So the suggestion is to just leave that portion of the agreement as recreational dance programs for the 10-year period, and then if the village ever sees a need for needing that space for a community meeting, anything like that, we'll just go through the normal channels to reserve that space.
Okay. Are there any other changes?
No.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion. Trustee Harris.
Excuse me. Move to approve the final land exchange agreement with the one change from last time's meeting that was approved by both parties.
Thank you. I have a second. Trustee Dart, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Under new business, number 8, action regarding resolution 2018-13, tree planting grant. Mr. Clark.
Yes, this is one of those typical resolutions that you have to pass in order to potentially get a grant funding. This is the same grant that the board actually approved a resolution for earlier this year for a 2018 grant. This one's for 2019 through Bay Lake Regional Planning Commission. What we're looking to do with this grant is we have a potential of about $5,350 in grant monies. The village's cost share would be a quarter of the total project, so it's a quarter, three-quarters grant. Village's share would actually just be the labor and equipment, so we wouldn't really have any dollars into it. We're looking to purchase 50 trees to plant along the East River Parkway, Rush Family East River Trail along that area. We're starting to see a lot of elms dying, ash dying because of the EAB, so we're looking to utilize these trees for reforestation along that area.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a motion on this item?
I move to approve.
Second.
Trustee Atwood, seconded by Trustee Green. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Number nine, action regarding Martha Street development. Mr. Gian.
The developer has indicated that the fate of Martha Street development requires a village assistance financially and assistance with engineering, bidding, and construction oversight. I have prepared a cost estimate, and I'll run through that with you. I want to mention that the developers, Bill and Dean Johnson, had attended last week's Public Works Committee meeting to present to us the type of home that they're proposing to build, the square footage, the improved value, and their schedule. And I think Brad had handed out a photo of what they're proposing to build. They're here tonight. I'm not sure if you want to hear them present on their development. If not, I had put together a cost estimate for the development as requested. It's up on the screen here. The cost estimate includes the cost to extend the street, the sanitary sewer and water main, storm sewer. It includes engineering plan preparation, topographic and boundary survey, drafting, engineering, preparing the specification manual, and possibly obtaining DNR sanitary sewer and water main extension permits. It also includes construction oversight by the village. I do want to point out that when Bill and Dean presented last week to the Public Works Committee, that they had estimated that the improved value of the land would be, roughly speaking, $330,000 for two of the lots. Third lot was purchased by a woman from Minneapolis, and she intends to build. We don't know what her plan there yet, but the developer is asking that the construction cost be split 50-50. And if you look at the estimate on the screen, the total costs are to the left, that first column. The cost to extend the street, roughly speaking, 60 to 70 feet is $15,000. The cost to extend sanitary sewer and water main is estimated at $25,000. To extend the storm sewer from Pickard Court to the end of the street is estimated $14,000. Engineering and planning preparation costs have been listed, some of which have already been completed by the developer. And I have also included construction oversight. The village costs are in the middle column. The shared construction costs would be, roughly speaking, $27,000. The developer costs would be the same. The village would have invested, roughly speaking, $3,300 in the design, the bidding, and we need to obtain permits from the DNR. Also included is construction oversight, and that would be completed by village staff. Altogether, the village cost would be approximately $31,500.
So we're being requested to give that much towards this project.
the total cost.
And during the Public Works meeting, we talked about capping it at $20,000 or whatever.
Right. In the $20,000 that we're referring to would be the street extension and the extension of the sanitary sewer and water main. At the time, I felt that the extension of the storm sewer should be the village's expense because we were aware of the drainage issue in that area before this project was proposed, and we discussed the extension of storm sewer to improve the drainage at two properties. I've reconsidered that. I do believe now that the cost should be split 50-50.
And the logic that was shared at the village Public Works Committee meeting last week was that these three parcels, which were one for a very long time, haven't sold. We haven't found a good solution for that space. And so these three properties, one will face Webster Avenue, and the other two, Martha Street, will be completed into a cul-de-sac. And so the other two properties will face the cul-de-sac, correct?
Right. It won't be a cul-de-sac. It'll just be a dead end. The street would be extended as it exists today, okay, approximately 60 feet south.
Okay.
To minimize cost.
And of the $27,000, are those all hard dollars, or are some of those soft dollars which we can take care of with village labor?
Those are hard numbers.
So it's $27,000.
Yeah.
Now, when that other piece of property that was sold, if someone decides to build on there, is there more costs that are going to be associated with that piece of property when that happens?
Not for infrastructure.
Okay.
No.
When the developers sold that parcel, they committed to providing, making sure that the utilities were there.
And the commitment would be commensurate on the project going forward. We would just go put everything in and then wait and hope. It would be part of the deal, right?
Right. I think the next step would be to prepare a developer's agreement.
Yeah.
Which goes through our normal process.
Yes.
And the return on investment right now is projected maybe be about 6 years, but if that third lot is developed within the next year or two, it'll speed that up to five, maybe four,
correct,
depending, okay, on a property that we're generating very little now. Right? Okay. And then there is at least one neighboring property owner that will benefit from the lateral connection.
Right. We would, if this project were to move forward, we would build it, we would extend the storm sewer, and a storm lateral would be extended to his property, and he would be special assessed the cost to install a storm lateral.
And he was in attendance at the Public Works meeting and seems to be supportive of the idea.
Seemed as though.
Well, we're going to put the crossing guards.
Oh, Jason's car. I see one of the projections is an assessed value of $330,000 each. I don't have a say without coming across as cynical, but I don't know how many 1,800 to 2,000 square feet homes within Alloway have reached that level of assessment. So that it gets my attention. Maybe I'm missing out on a large number of homes that do have that assessed value for that kind of size. I don't know where without being part of the Public Works meeting, I don't know if the $4,750 in terms of projected revenue per unit, if that's for the two that we're talking about or for all three.
Yes, that is for the
two. Okay, and would that be an increment from what is being collected today? Or we're looking at about $9,500 annually from those two once they're constructed and occupied?
I don't recall what the assessed value of the property is currently, but the 330 was including property, the land itself. So if the value of the, each lot is roughly 60, so you're looking at that $270,000.
Okay, and I may be off the mark here, and I don't know. I just it caught my attention, so I figured I'd ask. I didn't know if you know if we were as if we look to go down this path, if we look for a guarantee of assessed value, if we look at a guarantee of when things will be completed and when it will hit the tax rolls at that level, that those are two other items that we should consider, I think. Mm-hmm. And then the last one that came to mind would be that the if we do go this route, the payment for, and let's, I'll just use John's number of 31.5, half of it would get paid upon certificate of occupancy of building one, and the other half would get paid upon certificate of occupancy of building two. Throwing out some ideas.
Because it's a public improvement, you know, we would have to publicly bid this project. But we may, we'd like to have the developer write us a check to help fund the project.
Okay.
And when would we give them the $31,000 or the $27,000?
We'll have to.
It would go, excuse me, since it would be a public project, the bill would be paid by the village.
Oh, I see. Okay. And where would the money come from?
I did talk to Julie this afternoon about that. It would come out of five different funds, street, storm, sanitary sewer, storm sewer, out of those four funds. We do have money available this year to build the street, if need be. But I think it'd be a major achievement to pull that off, but it's possible.
Okay. Any other? We don't have a motion on this. Does anyone want to hear from the gentlemen who are here from the developers? Would you gentlemen like to say something? You're okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Do I have a motion on this item?
I would move to approve because I go with my supporting argument from before. It puts it back on the rolls. There's a payback.
And would you entertain any of Trustee Harris's caveats?
Feel free to throw an amendment out there. The assessed value is a tricky thing.
I think what we have to do in terms of that.
Wait, what?
I was just asking if that would be part of the developer's agreement.
Okay. But we should, if we can, give guidance and say under what conditions we would approve even going forward with the developer's agreement, I think that would be appropriate. So, Matthew, would you like to?
Whatever the figures end up being or whatever we propose to put in a developer's agreement, I think we have to have a mindset of what time frame are we expecting a payback? What time frame are we expecting construction to take place, be completed? When do we expect it to be on the tax rolls? Though I don't know exactly, I think those, without sitting down at the table with the developer to see what their expectations are, yep. I don't know about necessarily putting it in the motion with a specific figure, but I know those are
items. That we include those in the
right. We've got to make sure that we include those items within a developer's agreement so that we know that if we're spending X thousand dollars, we can make sure that that money is returned back to the residents in Y period of time.
Yeah, you'd hate to see the land after the improvements were made sit there for 2 or 3 years.
There's one other amendment. I would request that the request was for 50-50 split, and I would say we should cap it at the numbers we have in front of us, because if costs go way out of line, we don't have control over that. So we have a motion to approve and a second with a couple of amendments. Are you okay with the amendments?
I am okay with those.
Are you okay with the
amendments? I'm fine with those amendments.
Was there also the assessed value guarantee?
I think that would go in line with the return on the
investment,
for lack of better words, that the village is putting in. Is that it? You're going to have a, they're going to be tied, they're going to work hand in hand. And is the motion, Rob, is the motion to enter, to start to enter into a developer's agreement?
Well, I think the motion would be to approve the dollars allocated on the split to be funded by the village because it's a public works project, with developer's agreement to spell out the reimbursement and the
cap.
In the cap.
So basically how we've been executing the developer's agreement, making sure we have those securities in place.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
Okay. Any discussion?
Having been privy to the discussion at Public Works, I think the developers make it very clear they'd like to get going, well, tomorrow or yesterday probably, but certainly as soon as they can, and hopefully get shovels in the ground this year yet, but the public service and all the rest, we're not quite sure of that, but I think they're intent on making this happen. So.
And if anyone in Alloway is looking for a house, this is what they're going to look like.
It's great.
Yep.
And that's a tricky piece of property there. I mean, I think the solution's creative, the way the houses are placed, and it's not doing any good just sitting there. So.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Thank you. Action item number 10, First Bible Baptist Church Drainage Improvement Project. Yes.
The heavy rainfalls this year, there has been a lot of flooding throughout the village. One area in particular is the First Bible Baptist Church property. We have a reoccurring flooding issue anytime we get significant rainfall. The east side of the church property floods, and it does rain into, back up into the residential properties along the east property line, and two or three properties along the north property line. We have studied this issue, and we've talked to the property owners, talked to the apartment complex owner, the single-family homeowners of the church, and we had come up with a solution, the solution being to construct a swale that would run along the east property line, that would start at the southeast corner and drain north to an inlet that we had placed last fall. It would be a swale that we constructed along here, along the northeast property line. It would drain slope to inlet here. We put together a cost estimate for the construction of the swale. We've estimated that the cost to construct the swale at about $9,000. We have recently reached out to contractors, and if we were to assist with the village equipment and staff, we could lower that cost to, roughly speaking, half of $9,000, closer to $5,000. We have reached out to two contractors that would provide an excavator and an operator. Tricky thing is here is that because the soils are heavy, it's a clay type soil, and we haven't gotten a lot of rain recently to find a window or get some dry weather to get in there and build a swale. The drainage issue is it extends beyond the church property. It is, I believe, a regional issue that includes multiple properties. And there's been a lot of discussion. Is this a private issue? Yes, I think it is. It is also a regional problem that is a headache for these property owners, because when we get a significant rainstorm, these properties flood. The church, their involvement on this would be that they're willing to provide the property to build it, and they're willing to maintain it. We have gotten a letter from the pastor giving us permission to enter the property to build it. The before development, this property naturally drained west to east towards the East River. The church property and these residential homes were all built about the same time in the mid-1970s. You can see that the churches, they haven't made any improvements since. The majority of their property is a meadow or grass. So they're not, I don't know that they're generating a lot of new stormwater. I think this is an issue that existed, for a while now. So I know there's people here that want to talk on the subject. Jerry's here. He's been kind of the point person for the neighborhood on it. I don't know. Do you guys have any questions? I'd like to resolve this. I'd like to do it as soon as possible. If we were to complete this project this fall, we'd have to get started soon. To attempt to build this after the middle part of October would be risky because of the weather. Rain with cold weather, things don't dry out, and the soils are heavy. And if we get rain, it will be a big mess.
Any questions for Sean, first of all?
There's other areas in the village that have the same problem. Mm-hmm. I can see a difficulty here of the village fixing this one. I know my neighbor has a drainage problem and drains into other yards. Isn't this just like saying we're responsible for drainage in everybody's yard? I can't see that the church has altered their lot to cause the problem, so I can't really say they should be responsible. It's kind of hard to, it's difficult to say who should take care of this problem.
Brandon, that was somewhat of our stance. We're trying to facilitate this. There are a lot of different parties involved, mm-hmm. with different opinions.
And we, I think it's fair to say we had part of that discussion at Public Works as well, agreeing it's definitely a problem. There's water pooling where it shouldn't be. But it would be a precedent. So I think part of our discussion was, well, what about some kind of cost sharing? How can we determine who's affected, who will benefit, and how we can maybe come to some kind of an agreement on paying for that? Yeah, we would probably set a precedent, but if there's some cost sharing associated with it, maybe that would be okay and or acceptable. So I think that's what we were hoping to discuss here, that what are those options?
I applaud you, for Sean, for getting that cost so reduced, which makes it more, feasible that there could be some kind of cost sharing to solve that.
Any other questions for Sean? We have a request from the floor to suspend the rules. Do I have a motion to that? Trustee Sampson, seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Who would like to talk about this? Come on up, sir. Would you be kind enough to give us your name and address, please?
My name is Gerald Bayett. My address is 2622 Bell Court.
Thank you.
And I am one of those three others that are on Bell Court, and we're the oldest people in that area. Everybody says, and I noticed that in some of your minutes, that this is just a drainage problem. Yes, it is. But let's go back in history a little bit, okay? I don't know how many people here are old enough to go back 40 years before these apartments were here, before the church was there. What they started doing, the office building on the end was built up. Before that, that was all church property, but it was all grass. So that absorbs moisture, correct? Okay, so now they build up the office building. Then they put a first apartment building. That's built up. Second apartment building, running north and south, or east and west, that's built up. Third one comes in, that's running east and west, or north and south. That's built up. The final one adjacent to our property is north and south, and it's built up. Before this all happened, there was never any water problem in this area. Never flooding land, nothing flooding of anybody's property, okay? Now, just this rain that we had, granted it was a deluge, 3.5 inches, we had 3 personal pumps running along our lot line to keep the last person from getting drowned in his basement. That's the kind of water problem we have. Totally flooding. It starts up to the east or to the south and goes through each of the properties, ends up in the last property, which is, well, you can see, yeah, right there. It ends up right there. His whole yard is flooded, and without our own pumps running, his basement would be flooded. They still do get some water in there. Okay? Now, is this a drainage problem? Yeah. Was it created by us? No. Was it created by God? Maybe. Or was it created by man by building this up, not considering the last apartment that comes in there is anywhere from 5 to 7 feet above our elevation? Okay? Number two, there's only about 10 feet or maybe a little bit more between that apartment and our lot line. They go from 7 feet down to zero on our lot line. So if any kind of rain you got, where's the absorption going to go? Nowhere. It's going to run right off, just like Niagara Falls. Okay? Now, we got that water coming in there. Where's it going to go? It's going to start going ever progressively again, all the way up to Greenbelt. We've been putting up with this for a long time. I just replaced the $150 pump because I burned up another one before that. Trying to help ourselves. Now what we're doing is asking you people to help us take care of this problem. Sean has done a lot of work on it. Brad has done work with us on it. They came up with what I thought and what we all thought was going to be starting. We're going to take care of it. Then we get a message from Sean saying that they got boondoggled in some committee here saying, well, it's just a drainage problem. It's our fault. It's our problem, not the village's problem. Excuse me. We are members of this village just like you guys and everybody else. We need some help here. We're talking 2 retirement families that are in here right now. So we're on fixed incomes, and you're saying that we're going to have to come up to $1,000 or $1,500 a piece to get this thing done? That's ridiculous. We've been paying taxes all these years. And now we're going to get taxed again for something that should have been taken care of in the first place. You talk about drainage. What are the laws? Who makes the laws? Who makes the rules here? Because the guy before Sean came up and said, oh, it's all up to code. Those buildings are up to code. They got big wells in between them. Yes, they do. They do have. So in between the buildings, they're fine. There is nothing to the outside of the buildings but downspouts. Now, I'd like to also include you people into it. You probably don't know because you don't have the problem. In 2009, the Wisconsin Supreme Court passed a resolution saying that forced water is illegal. Drainage from one person's property to the other is just natural drainage. Forced water is defined by oversized downspouts, for example, that are aimed or put in any given direction that would force that water to go where it normally would just wash, okay? The buildings that are up there now, and the owner is in here right now, and it's not his fault. These were built before he took over. These buildings, for example, the one closest to us, has four downspouts in the north, going toward the church property. They're big, long buildings, right? Okay, so they got gutters coming along. Oh, there's a break in the buildings. The gutters go down. Then it comes across, and it comes to one downspout point right smack at us. Okay? He said he's working on changing the direction of the gutters. That would help some. The fact that we've got that discrepancy between where their land is and where ours is, in that short of space, there's no place for the water to go except in a lower land, which is us. Okay? Sean came up with the swale agreement, or proposal. Excellent. I'm not sure if that's going to be the ultimate answer, but it serves heck is going to help a lot right now to keep that water away from us. Take it and move it somewhere. Okay? That's what we're asking. We're asking you people or the people who are on that committee to consider helping us out financially to get this thing done before there's any more damage, and there has been damage. The Madisons, which are over there, have a storage building that has sunk down. The equipment inside the building is rusted because of the standing water. I have two nice trees in the backyard. They're dying out because they're not supposed to be standing in water. They're not swamp trees. Neighbor across from us had to take a storage building and move it from the corner by us where we got that big problem to the other side of his building, or his lot. He isn't getting away from it there neither, because it's still coming there. This is what we're up against, and this is what we're asking you people to help us with. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Did you have a question?
I do. This is mainly for Sean, because according to our codes, one homeowner cannot divert water to another homeowner and make it their problem. So it's like, why is the drainage allowed to come off this apartment building and go to other places? Don't the parking lots have to have curbs?
There are really two components to this plan. One, to build a swale, and then two, work with Russell, the owner of the apartment complex, to change the pitch on his gutters to direct his roof leaders into his parking lots. He does have internal drainage. He does have storm inlets and storm sewer that collect about 90% of the stormwater runoff generated on his property. And then that storm sewer then drains into storm sewer that we have on Green Street. This map here depicts the watershed area. This is the apartment complex here. Very little of the apartment complex property drains to this flooding problem here. It's just this roof here, a portion of this roof here, and this roof here. And Russell's working. I got an update from him a couple days ago. They said they're repitching the gutters to drain away from the drainage problem.
Okay, and am I correct? All new building, because we've got some issues that have happened along Webster, being the peak, everything drains down. And I know at the ends all along Libel we've had issues, and we've had issues with people building, but am I correct in stating that any new construction has to handle their water on
yes.
their property? They cannot be diverting it to anybody else?
Yeah, the apartment complex was likely developed before the village's ordinances were developed. Yes, we do have a really restrictive stormwater ordinance.
And should, because it shouldn't be anybody else's problem. So where is all the water in here coming from then?
It's coming off of the surrounding properties. This line represents the watershed area.
But that's not impermeable surface.
No. This is roughly 6 acres. And granted, this is grass, but the soils underneath are clay. So you don't get a lot of infiltration. This is a hillside. There's a contour here. There's contour here, and this property drains west to east like it did 50 years ago. Gets to this point, and it's stuck.
Like anything east
of Lyle
or east of Webster drains that way.
The residential properties contribute to the flooding. Rooftop and their backyards all drain into this area here. As well as this here.
Not too many of our rooftops we went with that is draining into that area.
Yeah, I've got a portion of your roofs, not all of them, but yeah. In a way, you guys contribute to a small portion of it.
Very small portion.
1 second, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir.
I had one more comment to the lady there. When I referred to this 2009 Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple that had just bought property similar to what's going on here. Point was just between residential people, and they initially said that anything running from your property to my property is just natural drainage. However, when it came down to the forced water, mm-hmm. that's where they said. That's where the law changed. You cannot force water onto somebody else's property by using artificial means.
Right. Well, and that's why one reason with parking lots now, too, people have to keep their own water. I'm 2 houses off of Webster dealing
okay.
with a parking lot that just drains right where.
Exactly.
So I get it completely.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Come on up, sir. Give us your name and address.
Dick Madison, 2616 Bell Court. I just want to back up to what he says. I live right next door to him. There's only a couple other comments. One thing, if somebody wants ducks, whenever they have mud holes or something, which is quite often,
put them there.
There's ducks, geese, and cranes back here. So if anybody wants them, they can have them. Anyway, so that's basically all I want is to see something get done. I've been talking to a 6-7 years now I've been coming to the village. The engineer before us told me to go spit. And now Sean finally got something done, and I'd like to see it resolved.
Yes.
That's all I can say. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Hey, happy to be here tonight. I'm Pastor Keck of the First Bible Baptist Church. And if anything, we want to be a good neighbor. And we have negotiated, talked to our neighbors, two of which have been up here already, and have absorbed the water problem. We have found the Public Works Department of the town of Alloway very, very interested in solving this problem. And we met with them on a number of occasions. We've walked the back line with them as you see the pools of water there. We have seen them install the storm sewer that's already there at the end of the street. And when the opportunity came along and the idea for the swale, our church is right now considering that we're very blessed. We're happy to be in Alloway and happy to be with the town board that is considering such a venture. This is important to us from the neighborly standpoint. We don't have the water problem. Did have when we first moved in the building, but we did some window treatments and some other things that have helped. Somebody told us that we built a church right over an underground stream. I didn't know it at the time, but that flows west to east too. But I'm just here to let you know your public works department is doing a mighty fine job. They relate well to people. They study the thing. They don't give you shotgun opinions or quick draw. It's carefully considered. And although town ventures decisions tend to be like church decisions, they drag their feet. We are extremely happy with the proposal. We'd like you folks to certainly approve it. And we have already written a letter to the town. They have free access to our property anytime they want to start the work. So we are trying to cooperate all we can. Just want you to know we appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Any questions?
Any questions for the pastor?
Thank you,
sir. Lady in the back.
Kathy Madison, 2616 Belcourt. My husband is Santa. Anyway, talking, I know that storm sewer that they put on the end of Greenbelt is really lovely, but our property is the one that gets the jolt of the water. And that water sits behind our chain link fence with all the ducks and other wildlife. And we actually, I took a video of the water coming over our railroad ties. We did build up a little bit to try to get rid of some of it. But our neighbor to the south, he has built up quite a bit. So that's why we're getting it right in the center where the electrical or the AT&T pole is. And that's where it's coming in, like a gusher. So we put mega pipes up. But the thing is, all we're asking is to get that water to the drain. Because the drain, I went there this morning, and the drain is lovely. But the water puddles are sitting outside that drain. So, and people are starting to now put their lawn refuge stuff there. So, I mean, it makes no sense at all. The water just has to be moved. Or built the ground built up, because over the years the water from sitting there, the ground has gotten more of a hole, big time, and it's right on our lot line. So that's what we're asking.
Okay.
So thank you.
Thank you. Is there someone else who wants? Oh, Judy, did you want to say anything?
Yeah, just a comment. 2375 Riverside Drive. That's my front yard. The top picture. The mosquitoes are going to need life jackets. And what I heard on the weather report this evening was that actually Alloway got 6.39 inches of rain during that storm, not 3.5. And I don't think, even though there's no such thing as global warming, I don't think that it's going to get much better, to tell you the truth. I think we're going to be finding a lot more of this. But my question is, did I understand correctly that out of this $9,000 that it would cost to alleviate this, that the village would be putting in the labor and the machinery to get it done, and that would bring the cost down to half?
Probably speaking, yes.
That is approximately. We seem to find money for a lot of other things, and I think we should help these people. I don't think when these
when these lots were sold for building the apartment buildings, etc., back in the day, I don't think that planners paid that much attention to what is going on. And I don't think that we would be that negligent nowadays, although I'm wondering, with what they're contemplating building right on the edges of the Fox River, how many sump pumps they're going to have to put in those basements. But I really do think we should be able to find a kitty someplace that's got a little money left in it where we could help them. That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much, Judy. Pastor, if you could... Oh, okay. Was there another... Jim, would you hold on a second? Did you want to say something now?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, everyone. My name is Russell Rogers. I'm the owner of the Reynolds Apartment Complex. I bought the place 6 years ago. I guess the newest member of the community. And I'm learning a lot of different things in the past 3 years since this issue came up and so forth. Involving the downspouts and so forth, and the property next door to me, and also my neighbors. I'm meeting a lot of my neighbors. since that time, our last discussion, we have been working with Sean and the village also, and also contractors and so forth, in order to route our downspouts. Right now, as it sits, the plan is to route our downspout, repitch our downspout so that it pitches towards our parking lot stuff and existing manholes. Right now, if you look at the roof itself in question with the neighbors, you would only have a quarter of that roof coming off to the side towards the field itself, which would totally minimize what off you would actually get off the property itself. Now, my neighbors were talking also about the way the properties, or the building was built, how it was elevated. And it does swoop towards the property boundary itself. Now, the downspout that they're in question basically will have very minimal of anything coming off of that particular roofing structure, because of the fact, like I said, the way it will be repitched, will be pitched towards the parking lot itself. Now, the property, what I'm seeing as far as the field, I do see the collection of water and so forth. The collection of water that extends beyond that green brow street, basically, drove by this morning myself, and it goes beyond that full area itself. So I do understand my neighbor's concern, even their frustration. And I would too would like to actually see something done about the property itself in order to, one, be a good neighbor. That's my always my goal. With my properties, and that's the only property I own, basically, my goal is to want to be invisible or in line with my community I'm working with. And I seem to achieve that, with the exception of this particular discussion we're having here. in that one, to the tenants I'm bringing into the area itself, making sure that it's not a distraction, any particular way, anything like that. Matter of fact, most of my tenants are neighbors, kids or neighbors, or adults basically, or retired folks from the property, the neighborhood itself. And they do look at their neighbors, and they are knowledgeable of what the issue is, and they are part of the community. And that's my goal. So, again, I don't want to think, oh my gosh, the property owner there, he's just... No, it's not. It's me. And again, I am aware of the issue and working with my neighbors itself in order to address the issue. However, the runoff itself from my property itself will be very, very minimal to the great issue itself. All right?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Russell.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I sell a lot of homes in LA. I know a lot of neighborhoods have this issue. The technical term is a neighborhood drainage plan. The pier has one. I'd like to see The areas that are flooding have neighborhood drainage plans so the neighbors can all get together and if they need to do some trenching along their property lines to get the water from their backyards to the street. That's something that maybe the village can look at and start looking at and have the engineering department help some of the different neighborhoods.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this item tonight? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to pick up the rules. Trustee Dart, seconded by Trustee Genrich. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Excuse me, folks. Thank you. Do I have a motion on this item?
I have questions. Can I ask them without a motion?
Staff? Yep.
Yeah, I understand one of the key questions is the propriety of putting your people and machinery on private property to do work to improve drainage on the private property. Is it plausible to say that anything, any of the Village of Alloway's property, whether it's that catch basin or that little stub of street, could be washed out, could be negatively affected by this drainage problem? If we had and I think you mentioned 6 inches of rain. I didn't have that much. I'm over by Heritage Hill, and it seemed like maybe it was an inch and a half. But as you got progressively east to that Main Street area, I think down by Denmark, went ahead 6-7 inches of rain. If that rain would have happened here last night, would there have been damage conceivably to any of our public works?
After the improvement or before the
improvement? Before, as it is today.
That water would have, if we would have gotten 6 or 7 inches of rain, I think I heard reports of 3 to 4 in the area. A 6-inch stormfall will exceed the village's storm sewer capacity. And when that happens, then the street itself becomes a means to convey stormwater. Believe it or not, a village street or a city street is part of the storm sewer system. If you get a rainfall in general terms, if you get a rainfall over the 10-year storm, which is approximately 2 to 3 inches over a 24-hour period, that will exceed the storm sewer capacity. In most cases, storm sewers are designed to handle the 10-year event. They will back up at that point, and then the road itself will convey the stormwater, and the lower areas will get flooded.
Sure, street flooding, and eventually it drains away.
Right.
Does it undermine anything? Is there it's not a pitch such that there would be a washout or an erosion problem, or is that possible if you had a really big rain event?
Not right there. I don't think we have the extreme slopes. And we don't have a major point discharge pointed at that area. Yeah. It's a lot of sheet flow.
I'm just fishing around if there is an objection to doing something on private property, whether we can make the argument that we're protecting a public, a village held asset.
We've been given permission to build it on their property. We have a letter from them to enter their property to build it, and they indicated we're going to maintain it.
Thank you.
So just real quick, our out-of-pocket expense for the village total, said and done, to build this is around $4,000, give or take?
$5,000.
Hard dollars.
Good, yeah. Average number.
Hard dollars.
Good average number.
Remaining. We've paid for the storm sewer, which was $1,500, right?
Yeah.
Last year. And the labor to do that.
Storm sewer in catch basin?
Yeah, fall last year, we had extended the storm sewer and placed an inlet right here.
Okay. And that totaled about $1,500 roughly.
Yep. $1,200 for the storm inlet and another $300 for the storm sewer.
Okay. So we've already invested that in the water problem.
And that hasn't been helpful?
No, because we haven't yet built the swale to get the water through.
So, Sean, would you say this is a fix or a Band-Aid?
This will eliminate about 90% of the problem.
Okay.
95% of the problem.
For the folks who have built up their property in the back to prevent the water from coming, if we were to fix this, is that creating another problem?
No, I've talked to those property owners. There's one in particular, and explained to them when we build this swale, you're going to want to remove some of your landscaping to allow your backyard to drain into the new swale.
Were they okay with that?
Yeah, the person's here.
Is anyone opposed? Anyone who lives there opposed to that idea of removing the buildup behind your property?
I'll remove some of it if it helps, but there's no amount of water coming up my roof going on that property
right,
at all because my roofs are dump spots are into the storm sewers now.
I understand.
And done a couple of years ago. They're all so it's only whatever's coming down and running in by us.
Any other gentlemen that
have a comment?
You want to suspend the rules?
I
think we should know.
I think we know.
Yeah, we know.
I think we're okay for now, sir. Okay, just for a second.
Just in terms of the map being shown. How many lots or properties are getting the standing water?
I think there are about four or five. These three properties here, for sure. And then there are a few over here.
Okay. I figured it was under 10 from just the drawing, but I didn't want to make that assumption without asking. Thank you.
Trustee Edward, did you have?
Are you ready for a motion?
Sure.
I would make a motion that this hasn't been, I'll save it for discussion. I'll make a motion that we move forward to correct this problem and allocate the money to do so with a cap of $5,000.
We have a motion to move forward with it. Do we have a second? Trustee Green. Any discussion? Did you want to say something during discussion?
Yeah, the reason why I went the way that I did on it is because this is a situation that happened in the 70s. You know, and we didn't know better then. You know, maybe, and I don't think we're setting a precedence here because we've got six homes affected. We've got an apartment complex, you know, that's drainage. We've got clay soil, we've got little topsoil on it. I think everybody's been a good neighbor in this situation, and I don't believe we're setting a precedence because I don't think we'll run into this type of a situation again, and that's why I motioned the way I did.
I would strongly advise not to put a cap. Once we get started, it is our intent to go in there and get it done in a timely fashion, to look at the weather, to watch the weather, and find a dry period and do it as soon as possible. But in the event that we get started and it pours, I mean, under dry weather, we can hit that $5,000 mark. But if a contractor gets started and we get another 4-inch rainfall, costs are going to go up because of the nature of the soils, the characteristics of
heavier
the soils.
Heavier to carry it, move it off. Oof.
Brad?
Go on.
And just several years ago, there was a similar issue near Doty School. Water sheeting off of the school's property and flooding homes along Glen Haven or one of those streets along there. And
the solution that was ultimately the solution was to do the swale aspect. The village participated in that cost. I can't tell you right offhand what the dollar figure is that the village actually spent on it, but the school paid the other portion of it. It did not go towards any of those homeowners on there. So I'm just trying to give you a little idea. I'm going to say that was roughly in 2008, 2007, somewhere around there.
Okay. Trustee Harris. To Trustee Edwards' point, I am a little bit worried about a precedent in that a lot of different things within the village were built in the 60s or 70s, and I am fearful of that type of thing. From a personal perspective, water in my backyard, I've lost 2 pines and 5 cedars that were 15 feet tall to root rot because of that same thing. So I can relate directly to what the residents are dealing with. Part of me is looking at seeing how we can solve this, how we can be a good neighbor as a village, balancing that with should all the residents of the village take care of paying for this? Should there be a small portion of it that gets paid by the residents affected? Maybe it's $150 for each resident affected. Something, I'm just throwing out ideas so that there is some participation. The village is going to take on a large extent of it. Just trying to look out not only as a short-term solution, but see what a short-term decision may have on as a long-term effect.
I share your concern. I've got cardinal knowledge of 2 commercial properties that have water runoff that affects residents. Actually, more than that, there's at least 6 I can think of up on Webster that were built, you know, in this time if they didn't have to control their stormwater runoff, and it does affect the neighbors. So, yeah.
You know, I appreciate the pastor coming through and talking about how they're willing to give up some of the land or access to the land. That is helping. What else can we do? Again, personal perspective, I went through, dug a trench, trying to alleviate the problem in my own backyard, and I had that expense trying to take care of it myself. Just food for thought for the rest of the group.
Yep.
I have to say, I was thinking along the same lines as Matt. There is some kind of contribution. I mean, just some kind of personal participation. I like how they've gotten together and are trying to solve this. I just think it's kind of a good faith thing. If they can chip in $100, I don't care. But just something that shows that the residents are bearing some of the costs, because yeah, there is a lot of other people with that same problem. I don't know if it's exactly the same, but yeah, it's been a wet year.
I sit on the Public Works Committee that discussed this along with Trustee Genrich and Trustee Green, and I just wanted to let you know that our opinion wasn't it's just a drainage problem. It may have come that way through the minutes, but that's why we forwarded it to the entire village board. It's a discussion that, while I understand your pain through those pictures and flooding of basements, a third of my backyard floods every time it rains, but my house doesn't, right? So, and I don't have an apartment building behind me, and I don't have a church behind me and all that. But my concern is that, or my concern was, that it happens a lot in Alloy, and the old song, if you let one person do it, is everyone else going to come forward? Well, Judy Poe just proved me wrong, saying, I have ducks in my front yard, but I still think you should help these folks.
I don't have ducks. I have mosquitoes.
Oh, you have mosquitoes.
The size of ducks.
Yes.
But
didn't need life.
I see this to be a community problem and a community solution. And I want to commend everyone for the way you've presented yourself tonight, all in good spirit and everyone coming. As I look at this problem, it's probably ultimately about a $12,000 problem with the work that was done before and now. And I think everyone who has spoken tonight wants to help. The church has helped by offering to allow us to build the swale and to maintain the swale long term. The apartment owner has helped by redirecting the water from the roof to his parking lot. The village has helped. And I guess my question is, are the residents interested in helping financially at all in this? So if we were to come up with, you've heard the dollar amounts, they're not huge, any one flood is going to hurt you more than what these folks have talked about. But I think what that shows is a true community spirit and where everyone's pitching in to solve a problem to the best of their ability. I see one head shaking, and I'm thankful for that. We'd have to determine. But I would like to suspend the rules one more time, if it's okay, to hear from our residents on that.
I move to suspend the rules.
Okay, and seconded by Trustee Dart. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Sir, would you like to come up and talk?
Well, I was just going to ask how many people would be contributing.
That's a good question.
Right.
And, how many individual homes are truly impacted? I know we have three here tonight, right? And are there more that get the kind of water that you get?
We don't know. The ones on the far end, we have no idea.
Okay.
I looked this morning, and there didn't seem as if there was any issue.
Okay.
But supposedly they do in their backyard. So, again, they go in their backyard.
Okay. You guys have an idea?
No, I don't. It would almost have to be a donation. It would have to be voluntary. I don't know that we can special assess a private improvement. I'd have to talk. I'd have to get some direction from the village's attorney.
And
I know you brought up a good point with the storm laterals that are... services, storm, sanitary, and water services that we do, in some cases, special assess those. This wouldn't be considered a public improvement because we don't own the property. We don't maintain it.
Yeah.
What if we just structured it as a donation then? What if we said a recommended $150 donation?
Can we count on your donations?
$150?
Yeah.
$150.
Well,
I heard two.
And I think we ask everyone.
We can send out a letter.
I think we ask everyone and let them know that these three residents have shown up and supported their neighborhood, and we would encourage them to help out because it's going to help them in the long run. And I think. I'm excited about this solution because, the village is coming with the most, but we want to help, and it just shows good team. And the rules are still suspended. Pastor, would you like to say something?
As of, for $150, the church would like to kick in that much, too.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Our apartment owner, you had a...
Yes, same thing.
All right. Al, how about you? Al, we got 150 from you. 200 from Al.
I hear 250.
Jason's in for 250. Okay. Once again, thank you to everyone for the spirit with which you came. And I do thank our village staff. I know they've worked very hard on it. So I will entertain a motion on this item.
We have a motion.
We need to return first, please.
Oh, thank you. I will entertain a motion to return to order. Trustee Atwood, seconded by Trustee Genrich. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. So we have a motion to approve. Do you want to amend?
I'll amend the motion to approve the swell to be funded by the village with the recommendation of $150 donation from the affected residents or who would ever like to contribute.
Creative thinking. Right, and who seconded that? Trustee Green, you're good with that? Any discussion?
Sure. Just to clarify, this is not a precedent. You're saying we basically did the same thing 5-10 years ago, or wasn't that really the same thing?
I think it was a little bit different.
Because Alloway was the school district was the property owner.
Correct.
Okay, thanks.
And we deal with them on a case-by-case basis. I'll be here next week. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Thank you. And there was one other commitment you have to make. You have to come to our meeting every Monday or every first and third Tuesday of the month. Thank you. Okay. Good discussion. Action item item number 11, action regarding Warren Court Water Main Replacement Project bid results and award. Mr. Dean, you guys can't leave.
This is more fun.
You can't just take and run.
Thank you. Sean.
Yeah, we have just recently opened bids for the Warren Court Water Main Replacement Project. We had six contractors submit bids. The low bidder was Feaker & Sons at $91,000 and some change. As you recall, this was previously bid in July, and the bid at that time was $149,840. We thought that was excessive. We rejected that, and we are pleased with the low bid that we received for this project.
And that's less than was budgeted.
Yeah.
Do I have do I have a motion on this item?
Motion to approve.
Trustee Genrich, do I have a second? Trustee Sampson, any discussion? Trustee Harris.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to compliment Sean and the department there on this whole approach to, which was a net gain, in a sense, to the village of $58,000. You know, so they really did their homework and kind of judged the market pretty well and the needs and demands and all that, and it's working out very well. So thank you very much for all that.
Trustee Harris.
Two quick questions. Pardon me for it's not being familiar, but we've done enough work with Feaker & Sons, no issues?
Yeah.
Okay.
They just recently finished the installation of a sewer and water main.
Okay.
For the Old River Condominium Project.
Thank you. And then part two is, I know we're going to be temporarily patching the street in the fall and then redoing it in 2019.
Correct.
Recommendation would be to clearly communicate with a letter or something to all the residents along that street saying, here's the plan. Yes, we know it'll be, you know, a little bumpy for a few months, but the reason is this, then this. So we have that clear communication.
A letter was sent out.
Never mind.
Great mind. Any other comments, questions? Do I have a motion on this item?
We do
approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 12, action regarding vendor permit approval for Christmas Craft Show. Twas the night before Christmas at Green Isle Park. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Dart.
I move to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Harris. Any discussion?
This is a first-time event.
This is a recurring event.
Okay, I don't remember. I didn't see the paper in the packet, so I was just was curious. Thank you.
I didn't see it in there either.
Okay. But thank you.
Maybe it was just me. Sorry.
And I don't think the Christmas craft people are too much trouble.
Oof.
Depends how much eggnog.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 13, any future agenda items?
I think this copy that was presented to us, this letter about the concerned resident, about the condition of rental properties, yeah, the number of rental properties, I think should be an ongoing discussion. This was one of the things that I actually ran as village trustee on 4 years ago, and I don't see a whole lot of improvement in that area. I'd like to see continued discussion on how we enforce maintenance of those properties.
Good point. Yeah, with that being said, certainly we'll put it on the next agenda, and internally we've been talking about trying to come up with some methods.
Good.
And I can copy the letter. Well, I don't need yours. Can you send it?
Yeah, I will.
Thank you.
Any other other future agenda items?
Well, someone approached me about, are we at, have our full contingency of public works members meeting members?
We do.
Okay. Yeah. Someone asked me. I was assuming we didn't know that for sure.
Any other future agenda items? Hearing none. The gentleman's gone, so we can't talk about 14. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Genrich. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much, everyone.